Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes to us from the First Peter chapter 3. I'll be reading verses 13 to 22. Today's translation is the NRSV. Mr. George, didn't change it up on you, but hear now these words. Now who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer from doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He is put to death in the flesh. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit in which also he went, and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. Our second reading comes to us from the Gospel according to John from the 14th chapter, verses 15 to 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, on this day we are reminded of the Spirit of truth. That as we live in the season post-Easter as resurrection people, mindful of the gift of Jesus, we are called into a life modeled through Jesus and empowered by the Holy Spirit. So allow us to hear with fresh ears and open hearts the words that you would have us hear this day, that the collective meditations of our hearts will be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So after Easter, we've been moving through this series of what it means to be missional. And I remind you that our mission as a denomination is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Now that can look different depending on where you find yourselves connected within a particular church. So Holly Springs is uniquely positioned to live out that mission here, being part of the Village District of Holly Springs. right? And so for us to get to know our community, then the way we would go about offering Christ to make disciples may look very different than if you were attending a church in Western North Carolina. And yet we hold to some of the most important tenets of our faith, that we believe in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we believe in the Savior Jesus Christ who lived, suffered, died, and rose from the dead so that we may have new life. But we also believe in the power of the Holy Spirit that is this advocate that Jesus promised to us that we would not be forsaken. So when we hear these words of Jesus, keep in mind that he is foretelling what's going to happen after he dies. Like, he already knows that there are going to be folks that are going to be locked up behind their doors in their upper rooms, scared because Jesus was crucified and the tomb was found empty, and they were going to try to figure out, what does our life look like now? So when I hear Jesus' words, it says, I'm not going to leave you orphaned, meaning I'm not going to leave you hanging out there by yourself. That you are mine and I am yours and we are all part of God's family. And that is possible because of the gift of our baptisms. As I was talking to Wednesday night study, we've been talking about the tenets of faith, our top beliefs as United Methodists. And we talked about baptism and how baptism for us is a sacrament. It is a gift of God where we call upon the Holy Spirit, where we are water washed and spirit born, not to remove the dirt from our bodies, but to absolve us of our sins and to tell us in an outward way that we are adopted into God's family. So this promise that Jesus holds that you will not be orphaned is absolutely lived out when we baptize and bring people into the family of God. That we become parts of a much bigger family beyond our immediate relatives. That when I say your babies become my babies, I mean it. And they become your babies too. And even in older age where someone maybe has never heard of the promises of God through Jesus, they too can be brought into the family of God. That there is no time limit or expiration on this. Because the gift of God's grace is there. Always available to all of us. And it calls us into a new life. A different way of being. Of understanding who we are and whose we are. And it leads us to think about the relationship to Jesus. Now in this letter, this epistle from Peter, he's talking about that you are going to be persecuted for your faith. But if your heart is because you are listening and you are following the commandment of Jesus, then it is for good. Not for suffering's sake, simply to suffer. And it calls us into remembrance that Jesus reigns, that Jesus is Lord of our lives. So when we choose to respond to the world or follow Jesus, it may put us into a position that is difficult. That people may not understand why we do the things that we do because we're following Jesus. And if we have to give an explanation, we are to do it with gentleness and kindness. I'm curious. Have any of you experienced walking maybe in a public space where someone has yelled at you to say, repent or you're going to hell? Has anybody experienced that? Here's my my feeling. How did that make you feel? Maddie's shaking her head. Absolutely not. It would probably be off-putting, wouldn't it? Be like, well, you don't know me. You don't know that I already claim Christ as my Savior and that I'm walking a life of faith. And I can tell you that if someone is yelling at me and trying to use coercive words to convince me into something else, I am of the temperament and the personality to say, not anyway, but no way am I listening to you. Am I right? I'm looking at the kids who have parents who probably yell at you, and the first thing you do is tune them out and say, I didn't hear what you said, right? And here's the part with that, that if we are using the words of salvation in a way that mongers fear or anger or hatred, then it is not in line with this idea of abiding in God. In conversation with the lectionary group, we got caught up in this, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I've talked a little bit about that word love, and in this case, I looked it up, and the word for love in this instance is agape, which is the deepest form of love in terms of sacrificing oneself for the betterment of others. It's not just a surface level, hey, I like you, or I really love that shirt. Rather, it is, I see you, I know you, I care about you. Do you see the difference in the level of depth? And so for us to say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, which is the very same thing Jesus asks Peter. Peter, do you love me? And what does Peter say? I love you. But what did he respond with? Did he respond with agape love? No. He responded with philia, friendship, love. And so Jesus asks him again, Peter, do you love me? And Peter responds with, I feel you, Jesus. And so Jesus finally asks, not the agape form, but the other form, which is what Peter was using. And I don't know about you, but if Jesus ever came to me and say, do you love me? I hope I can respond with, yes, Lord, I do. And there are times in our lives where sometimes it's easier to say that than to not. Because sometimes it's hard to say, I love Jesus and I model my whole life to Jesus, and there are people that are out there that saying, yeah, but I don't believe you. Because oftentimes the word on the street is that those who claim to be Christian are actually causing harm to other people. And so the witness is broken a little bit in that. So today, when we think about Jesus' reign, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, we really need to be confident in that role of Christ in our lives. Are we willing to be put to shame because we claim the gospel? Are we willing to have people yell at us on the street that says we're going to go to hell if we don't repent, even though they may not know who we are? Well, yeah. Are we going to have to be willing to step into the margins and care for those who are often on the outskirts? Yes. Are we going to have to challenge the powers of this world, or even the human tendency to say it's all about me? Yes. It's going to call us into some uncomfortable places. And we will not be orphaned. We will not be left alone. Why? Because Jesus has promised us an advocate, the Holy Spirit, that will sustain and keep us. And we will be covered in God's mercy and grace. This is the life I want to live. I hope this is the life you want to live. Are you ready to remember and reclaim that Jesus is Lord? Is Jesus the ruler of your life? Holly Springs UMC, do you agape Jesus? If you do, let us keep God's commands to love and care into the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.